paradise, put up a parking lot. Hey, nah, nah, don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? To pay paradise, put up a parking lot.
Why welcome back to the Saturday Splash here on 94.5 WGTK The Answer. Don't forget, you can check us out online at SaturdaySplash.com for more.
We are back with Patricia Whitener from Clemson Extension, and we're talking school gardens because do you know why? We don't, schools, let's get the kids out of the parking lot, put them in the garden.
Do you know it is literally an act of Congress to get kids out of the classroom and outside nowadays? It's kind of a travesty.
I've been really surprised that like most of the schools, many of them don't even do recess every day. I know, in a future show, we're going to talk about Legacy City Farm, but the Legacy Charter School, that's one of the big things. Their kids do outdoor activities every single day, and I think that is so awesome.
It has, yes.
Yes, and there's so much research out there supporting that sort of unrestricted outdoor playtime and how essential it is to the formation of kids' brains.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, the more you play as a child, the better your brain develops, really.
Yeah, Legacy Charter School actually did a study, and it proved with their required 45 minutes a day that all of their students were performing well academically because of that.
That's yeah, fantastic. I mean, it makes sense. If I anytime I go out for a walk or for a run, I don't know, my brain fires up too. You know, working my body, working my brain.
So one of the trends that I have seen in trying to get kids engaged in outdoor recreation, outdoor learning, is the creation of school gardens and community gardens, which seems to be really popular in the Greenville area.
We love community gardens. So the Greenville, just for those of you who don't remember, Greenville Rec is putting together community gardens. They have two of them going on, one at the Pavilion and one over at on Super Road. So they may still have spots left. I'm not sure. I didn't check with them before we went on air this morning. So they may have some garden spaces left for that. But we're going to talk about school gardens.
Right. And again, getting kids outside, especially in this day and age, can be problematic. I mean, obviously, you can go all the way to the dark, horrific places of school shootings. That have even happened here in our very own state. And then after 9/11, there was a lot of security issues. So just getting into a school building and out of a school building is, as it should be, very protected and very regulated. But one of the ways that we can engage our kids throughout the school day safely outdoors for environmental learning is through school gardens. And it also beautifies that green space. It's something that that school community can take pride in.
And they can be gardens, they can be fruit and vegetable gardens, or they can even be pollinator gardens.
That's right. Absolutely. They can be flowers, they can be, you can have a theme garden, there's math gardens, there's
math
reading gardens.
Yes.
Wait, talk about math gardens.
Well, Blythe Academy of Languages, for instance, has a math garden where they built their raised beds in geometric shapes, and they are doing the math of laying out and spacing the plants that they're growing. And so there's all types of ways to incorporate all the disciplines in gardens.
That's great. And you really can even branch out to like social studies. You can plant historically native plants and things that grew in the region and how they affected, you know, the local economy. You can talk about that. You can have art students help design, paint things. It's, you know, you can really include every subject at school.
One kind of garden that I think is really cool is the Carolina Fence Garden. It's basically a historical representation of all the different state symbols that we have. So you have the fence, which represents kind of some of the industrial history of the state. You put birdhouses out for the Carolina wren, which is our state bird. You grow the yellow jasmine, which is our state flower. And there's a, you can check it out. Clemson Extension has information on their website about it, but it's a whole garden just centered around South Carolina state symbols.
Right. The South Carolina National Wildlife Federation actually has great plans for that as well that you can look at and get an idea of how those look.
I've heard of fence gardens, but I don't think I ever knew that they were based around all of our state symbols.
And our state stone, you can also get a our state stone, which is a blue slate, and have that there.
Yeah.
And then there are feeder plants, host plants for our state insect, the praying mantis, and also for our state butterfly, the tiger swallowtail. So all of those symbols are there represented in what you grow. One of the things that Clemson Extension was looking at when we were looking at helping community and school gardens was delivering that training that is so essential for teachers and for volunteers, and how to create a successful and low maintenance garden
that's a key, right? Big key right there. Low maintenance, exactly. Especially once it comes to be summertime and you don't have a lot of people around at school.
Right. So it's important to engage not just the teachers, but also the parents, the maintenance staff, the cafeteria staff. Everyone should be involved in the planning process.
All right. So let's say that I am someone at a school and I'm thinking to myself, you know what? I would love to do a garden at my school. I'd love to be the school representative, school sponsor. How would I go about doing something like that? Would I just say, hey, Patricia, come do a garden for me? Or what would I do?
Oh, no, I'll never do a garden for anyone.
Ah, good.
Yeah. So identifying who your champions are at that site, you know, putting together your planning committee is crucial. Having administration supporting you, having, you know, many hands make light work, especially when it comes to gardening. So having your committee put together to start with. And then there's lots of information about planning and executing gardens. Now, Clemson does have a new program that is statewide, that is School Gardening for South Carolina Educators, which is an online class. And some Title I schools and low-income schools would even qualify for grant funding with that.
Oh, that's awesome. And just I'm going to toss this out there. Soil and Water Conservation District may or may not do mini grants that are available now. We just finished our mini grant season, so we did some funding for a school garden, but it's actually from the fruits of a school garden that the school is taking the garden crops, and they are teaching their kids how to cook with them, which I think is incredibly great.
Oh yeah,
so many kids don't really have a connection to where their food comes from.
So many adults don't have a connection to where their food comes from.
That's really true. I mean, you know, where does ketchup come from? What plant is ketchup from? And they're like, oh, it comes from the bilo, or, you know.
Well, really, it comes from the corn plant.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of high fructose corn syrup in everything that you eat, by the way. Read your labels.
Oh, yeah. And don't forget, there's also an acceptable amount of insect parts. Especially allowed in ketchup.
My favorite thing is that when you go and you buy a cheap version of maple flavored syrup and you flip it over and you realize that you're eating entirely corn.
Because there's no maple in it. It's all corn.
It's corn syrup and maple flavoring.
Right. And it's artificial flavoring to boot. So yeah, you have to.
So I am a big proponent for the school gardenings, again, just like we were talking about. So connecting kids with the nutrition, with where their food comes from and sort of South Carolina's agricultural history, as well as was mentioned earlier, those social and cultural aspects of gardening as well.
And you said, you know, South Carolina's agricultural history. What types of crops are historically from South Carolina? I mean, the one that, of course, comes to mind immediately is cotton.
Right. Cotton was king for a long time. And mm-hmm. That's one of our textile industry grew out of. But as of right now, our number one agricultural resource is timber.
Timber.
That's right. Yeah, we are a forestry state for sure.
Yes, we are. Yep. And did you know our South Carolina State Farm of the Year happens to be a beekeeper?
That's right.
This year.
That's
and right. Bees are considered livestock in South Carolina.
Really?
Okay.
That's very cool. So I could be a farmer and keep bees.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I love it. What's the name of that farm, the beekeeper?
It was Bee Well Honey.
That's right. Yeah. Bee Well Honey.
And they're here in the upstate, aren't they?
They are in Pickens.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And that, because they were participants in the Greer Farmers Market this year, I believe.
That's right. I think you can even find their honey at the grocery store.
You can. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Widely so check out your labels when you're
shopping. We also have many local beekeepers, too, that provide that service as well.
And there's a store up in Traveler's Rest.
Carolina Bee Company.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So if you would like to farm bees on your own.
They have a Piedmont Beekeepers Association as well.
Oh, that's really cool. Wow. Do we have any schools doing beekeeping?
I'm sure that there probably are. We have a 4-H Junior Beekeepers Club that is a part of, that is supported by the Piedmont Beekeepers Association. And we also have a statewide pollinator project for youth ages 5 to 18.
Talk about that, because you just announced the Pollinator Project for 2017. Is that right?
That is right. And you can find more information at South Carolina Youth Development on Facebook or on the Greenville County 4-H Facebook page.
That's right. That's right.
The deadline for that is going to be February 3rd.
Can you give us just a brief gist of the program in case anybody's interested?
It is basically connecting kids with educating them about bees and about the importance of pollinators. And then they dive a little bit deeper into all the necessary equipment and all the ecosystem services and products that we get from bees.
That's great. Yeah. Okay. Jill, check that out on the Clemson Extension website.
I like kids learning about stuff like that is so cool. We do an essay contest every year. This year's theme, PS, is going to be trees. So look for that in the spring. But no, not trees, soil. I totally lied. Soil. But we did a pollinator essay contest a couple years back, and the one that the kids really seemed to focus on was bats. Bats that was the pollinator that was the most interesting to the kids, and I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, bats are a fascinating and underutilized species. One of those species that we don't talk about nearly enough. You know, one of the true flying mammals, one of the only true flying mammals that we have.
What a weird concept. Flying mammals.
I know. They're fantastic.
They're like little baby dinosaur looking things.
They're wonderful.
They're so cool. We have a bat that lives somewhere near our house because we see him at dusk in the summertime flying around. So we always love that. So getting back to gardening. So what would you say is the best kind of garden for schools?
I always push vegetable gardening. I mean, obviously the Carolina fence we talked about and the pollinator gardens, but if you're going to be in there really engaged throughout the school year, we're in the upstate, we have three season gardening. So that's really awesome that we have the weather that we do. And you can actually coordinate your gardens and your harvests to coincide with the school year.
You could do spring and fall gardens, yes, and not cool, even worry about it in the summer when there's not anyone there.
Cool and warm season gardens. Absolutely. And the great thing about the vegetables is that they're learning all of the science standards associated with, you know, parts of a plant and seed germination and water cycle, which you guys have done some lessons for me on. And then they actually get to harvest. And then, like you said, like the school that's teaching them how to cook that food. So they get to enjoy the fruits of their labor.
That's awesome. Well, we'll put a link to Patricia's information on Saturday Splash if you want more information about school gardens and how to bring one to your school. This has been another fabulous edition of Saturday Splash.
Okay, I'm going to say it. See you next year.
See you next year. That's right. This is the last episode of 2016. May your 2017 be filled with magic.
And green. Lots of green.
Lots of green. Sustainable new year. This is a Saturday Splash on 94.5 WGTK The Answer.